The scripture is very clear. The scripture says, in the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. Wise people build wealth, but a foolish man devours all he has. If you spend everything you make, by definition, biblically, you're a fool. Don't get mad at me. God said it. And I've been that fool. I don't want to be that fool. I want to be the wise one. I want stores of choice food and oil. That is a wise person. That's in the Bible, okay? We've got to break through on this to be able to give ourselves permission to win on this subject matter. So why do we save? We teach you to save for three basic things. Number one, you need to save for an emergency fund. Number two, you need to save for purchases. And number three, you need to save for wealth building. Let's look at the first one, emergencies. We're going to save for unexpected events because unexpected events do occur. They're not really unexpected. It's just when they come and what they are. But you know what I know. You know life is going to happen. And you know Grandma said it. Grandma said to save for what? She said save for a what? Visual aid. You need an emergency fund. It's going to rain. You need to get ready. Something's going to happen. Money Magazine says 78% of you will have a major negative financial event in any given 10-year period of time. Something unexpected. A car wreck. Somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to get laid off. Somebody's going to die over there in the family and you got to bury them. Something's going to come up that's $5,000, $10,000, $12,000. The one that I don't understand is unexpected pregnancy. What? Something's coming that you don't know is coming. Well, Dave, you need to be positive. I'm positive. It's going to rain. You need an umbrella. You've got to get ready for this. One lady, I was teaching Financial Peace University years ago, and I was sitting in the small group discussion afterwards, and she said, well, my grandma always said to do this. She had a fund that I remember growing up. I lived with my grandma, and I remember when I was 13, I got braces, and we took it out of the fund because they kind of just, the doctor decided, and she went, ooh, ooh. And I remember one time grandpa's car broke down, and we took it out of the fund. And I remember another time that we were trying to plant the garden, and everything got wiped out, and we had to go replant everything, and we had to take that out of the fund. She called it the GOK fund. God only knows fund. Because we don't know when it's coming. And we've got to be ready. We have to be ready. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil. You've got this financial umbrella. And when you get laid off, there's $10,000 or $15,000 laying around because we've got a fully funded emergency fund. And then you're ready. And then when they lay you off, you go, how much is the severance? Changes your whole attitude about life because you're ready for the storms. You're the little pig in the brick house instead of the one with the straw or the sticks. And the big bad wolf is blowing. It puts you in a completely different place. Now remember, we just said baby step one, the beginner emergency fund's $1,000. Now, if your household income, your whole household income is under $20,000, you can mark through that and make it $500 because I want you to do it really, really quickly. As fast as you possibly can. Then we're going to go to baby step three. I skipped one. Baby step one to baby step three. I'm going to pick up baby step two in the debt lesson. But baby step one right now is $1,000. Then later on, we're going to come back to that $1,000, and we're going to have a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. 3 to 6 months of expenses. In most of your households, that's going to represent anywhere from $8,000 or $10,000 up to maybe $30,000. And so if you're sitting there with $15,000, $20,000 cash in the bank and something happens, are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
And a great place to put this is in a money market account. A great place to put the emergency fund is in a money market account. And you got to remember this. Your emergency fund is not an investment. It is insurance. Now, say that with me. Say, not an investment.
Not an investment.
Now say insurance.
Insurance.
Now when I set that $10,000 or $15,000 aside, it's not going to make anything in a money market account. It's going to make about what CDs are paying, certificates of depression. You're not going to be making anything on this money, okay? It's just sitting there. It's boring. It's not very sophisticated, but it's not an investment. It's insurance. Now think about insurance. Insurance does not make you money. Insurance costs you money to protect your investments. This is insurance. It's costing you money because it could be invested a whole lot better. But it's just parked there in a money market just to stand between you and Murphy. It just stands between you and life. That's all it's for. It is not to make you money. It is to protect your 401k, keep you from cashing that thing out at the wrong time. It's to protect the other investments to not have to cash them out at exactly the wrong time. You don't have to sell your house fast. Because you know what they call a house that sells fast? Cheap. You get in a pinch, you got to give it away. But if you've got the emergency fund, you can slow down and it protects your assets. It protects your investments. So think of your emergency fund that way. Do not touch the emergency fund for purchases. This is not a, I need a bass boat fund. This is not, oh honey, the leather couches are on sale fund. This is not a, I need a bigger flat screen TV fund. This is not a purchase fund. This is for you to protect you from life. That's what it's for. And just think about it. This is Murphy repellent. You know who Murphy is. If it can go wrong, it will. This is the guy that keeps Murphy around. Have you ever noticed that when you're broke, everything that can go wrong will? It's like Murphy moves in your spare bedroom, brings his three cousins, broke, desperate, and stupid. When you live on the edge and there's no money, you ever feel like your life is a country song? That's how I felt. I don't want to feel that way anymore. I want margin between me and that mess. And so if I can keep Murphy off of me by having that emergency fund, it actually becomes Murphy repellent. The weirdest thing happened. We got an emergency fund. We almost quit having emergencies. It was like Murphy would knock on the door and we go, we got the emergency fund. He goes, okay, I'll check the neighbor. He would just walk away. It's like you could chase a black cat when you've got an emergency fund. Come here, come here. Right? Because it changes. You've got this buffer between you and life. But when you know that every little thing that happens is now drama, it's a problem. The weirdest thing happened. As soon as we got our very first emergency fund in place, we had $9,000 saved. I'll never forget it. And the kids were little, and I had, y'all will love this. You remember those old blue Astro vans? Chevy Astro van, the blue two-tone baby? Yeah, we're talking styling here, right? There was an interesting thing about that blue Astro van. It had a thing when you would put it into drive, you put it down into D, there was a circle around the D. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I hate to admit that. I'm a boy. I should have known what it meant, but I didn't know what it meant. And I'll tell you what it means. It means if you pull the boat in that gear, which is overdrive, that it will burn the transmission out of the blue Astro van. It will fill up with smoke, and the children will start yelling, "We're going to die! We're going to die!" I know this is what happens because it happened to me. I fry the transmission. So I take the blue Astro van down to Greg, the mechanic, my buddy. He goes, "Dave, it's going to be $1,763. Put a transmission in it." I went, "Okay, we'll fix it." He fixed it. He called us a couple weeks later. We go over, pick up the blue Astro van. Sharon and I'll never forget. I can tell you exactly the stoplight when we're driving away. We drive up. We stop the stoplight because when we went over to get the van, we just wrote a check and paid for it because we had $9,000 in the bank. It was the first time that ever happened in our entire life. And we're driving away. We stop at the stoplight, and it was like a movie. At the same time, we looked at each other. And it was like, this is the weirdest feeling. Because before, every time the car broke, there was car drama and money drama. And so every time the car broke, it was like, right? The whole world's coming unscrewed. We were going crazy. You know what I'm saying? And for the first time, we just fixed the car. And there was no drama. And we went, this is weird. It changes everything. The emergency fund is your first savings priority. You do this before you do anything else. So if you're currently investing, stop. If you're currently putting money in the 401k, temporarily, stop. Until you get this emergency fund built. You've got to have these things in place and have this foundational issue before you do the other stuff. I'll cover all the other stuff. I believe in investing. I know about the match at work. I know you think I'm blaspheming, but I'm not. I'm laying a foundation for you to be able to build a house. And some of you start putting the chimney on and we didn't even have the walls up. And you start doing stuff out of the wrong order. And so I'm telling you, hold up on the chimney a little bit. Let's get the walls up because the thing's going to fall over. Don't do that. So stop doing that. The second thing we save for is for purchases. Instead of borrowing to purchase, pay cash by using a sinking fund approach. Now, sinking fund is a commercial real estate term or a finance term. For instance, if you buy an apartment complex and it's got a 20-year roof on it, and you got 20 years before you got to put a roof on it, you save every year 1/20th or so, so that 20 years from now you have the money to put this multi-million-dollar roof on. And so you set money aside because you know this expense is coming. The same thing Grandma said do. She said save up and pay for it. It's called common sense. But it turns out it's marketable today. I make a good living. So if you borrow to purchase, for instance, a $4,000 dining room set because you went down to Rooms There They Went, and you go in there and they've got that 90 days same as
cash,
right? But it's not the same as cash because 88%, according to my buddy at the finance company, the people that take out 90 days same as cash don't pay it off in 90 days. That's 9 out of 10 people don't pay it off. And so it converts to payments over at the finance company, which is usually 24 to 38% interest. A nice deal for you. And so what happens is you buy this $4,000 dining room set, and the furniture company then sells it to the finance company. And, you know, you got 24% interest. You got payments of $211 a month for 24 months. And you end up paying a total of $5,064 for that dining room set. That was only a $4,000 dining room set. Plus, you paid retail for it to start with. Instead, what I'm suggesting is the novel idea that you save up and pay for it. So let's take that $211 that you said you could afford, $211 payments, and let's just put that in a cookie jar with no interest for 18 months. Well, those of you that are really quick with math know that 18 times 211 doesn't equal 4,000. It only equals $3,798. Let me ask you this. Can I take $3,800 and walk into a furniture store and buy a $4,000 dining room suit? I can, or I'll leave and go to the other one.
Sharon says, you embarrass me.
I said, well, that's just a side benefit, baby. We are going to get a deal, right? We're going to get a deal. So you save up the money, you pay for it, and when you pay for it, you get a better deal, and the payments don't follow you home. How whacked is this? It's so crazy. You actually own the dining room set then. See, one definition of maturity is learning to delay pleasure. Adults devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good.